Across the industrial landscape, the past couple years have been marked, on the one hand, by economic uncertainty, a looming workforce crisis, and accelerating climate change. And on the other hand, by an innovation arms race in the artificial intelligence arena. So what's it like to run a multi-billion dollar family-owned business that has to deal with all of that? Well, stay tuned to find out. Hello, my name is Keith Larson, content director for Control Magazine and ControlGlobal.com, and you're listening to a Control Amplified podcast. Today I'm coming to you live from the Endersen Hauser Global Forum in Basel, Switzerland, where I'm joined by Peter Stelders, CEO of this global process instrumentation powerhouse. Thanks so much for the hospitality this week, Peter, and thank you for joining me to share your perspectives with our listeners.
Thank you, Keith, and really nice to meet you here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Congratulations on now your second year in the CEO chair. I understand your academic background is in the physics arena. Mm-hmm. And I'm a chemical engineer myself, but physics is a little different than that even. How is it different managing a multi-billion dollar global business than, you know, counting light waves and molecules? Are there lessons you've learned in this first couple of years on the job?
So it's really already a long time since I worked as a physicist in the lab. So yeah. in a real academic setting. Yeah. And at some point I wanted to move to the real world applications I wanted to join a company where I can really pursue long-term goals. Yeah. And I both finally found at Endersen Hauser. Yeah. But coming back to your question, the topics I'm dealing with are definitely different. Yeah. Comparing the academic world with the business world. But the basic principles of the day-to-day work aren't so different, to be honest. Because, first of all, I try to understand the situation. You do it in the lab with experiments, and you do it in the business world with talking with people, reading something, collect the information. Then you identify what are the objectives and how we can achieve them, and subsequently you implement the necessary measures, and you follow these up. So, and this is pretty similar if you work in a lab or if you work in business. So this is this classical PDCA. Yeah. These are really the basics. And from my training as physicist, I somehow learned to do it really systematic and to tackle the challenges like this. And that it is really crucial to understand both the problem and the context, because only then we can make real good decisions.
Yeah. So it's like applying the scientific method to behavior of people instead of behavior of molecules and subatomic particles, huh?
Yeah. But on the other hand, there are also two clear differences from my previous work, let's say, as a physicist in the lab and in the business world. So the operating boundary conditions definitely change more rapidly in a company compared to a lab. Yeah,
because
the boundary conditions are quite stable, and the influence of human collaboration is way higher, of course, in business than in the lab, because in the lab you normally work alone.
That's true too. Absolutely. I have to say, as a longtime editor of Control Magazine, our stated mission is really closely paralleled Endersen Hauser's own focus on advancing the efficiency, safety, and sustainability of the operations of the global processing industries, really. So very, very much aligned. How does this mindset influence Endersen Hauser's own manufacturing operations and product offerings?
So let me maybe start with our promise to our customers, and that is that we are the partner for process improvement. So we have an extensive offering of measurement technologies and solutions, and really strive to provide our customers with the accurate insights into the processes to help them to increase efficiency, reduce costs, improve quality, comply with the requirements and the regulations, and also, of course, minimize the carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And to be able to do this, we have to understand the business of our customers, of our partners, and their application, because then only we can identify the needs. We can provide the best possible solution. And to fulfill our promise, we have a global footprint. So we manufacturing these individual measuring points on a global scale. We are located in each and every continent there, and we produce millions of different variants in our production sites close to other customers. to be able to deliver quite fast. Yeah. And on the other hand, we also have this comprehensive range of process measurement technology is a direct consequence or reflection of this need that we, or this striving to really serve the customer in each and every application. So therefore we need this broad technology portfolio. And this is again some, let's say, self-enforcing spiral, because the more we learn, the better we are. We can bring new technologies into our offering, and so we are closer to the customer again. And this is somehow how we approach our business, and really to serve the specific need of each and every customer and each of every application.
Great. I have to say, I've been very pleased to see the emphasis on sustainability in the global forum here so far this week. I mean, it seems like that the way you position it has kind of proceeded from sustainability 1.0 to more of the sustainability 2.0. Can you just explain a little bit about what that means for Anderson Hauser and your value proposition for your customers?
Yeah, and maybe I can start one thought before. Yeah. I think the basic principle is and what everyone has to figure out, nobody wants to have less.
Right.
So we always have to combine our striving for sustainability with economic success.
Yeah.
And this is how we approach the topic. We want to help our customers to reduce the consumption of energy, resources, and so on. Mm-hmm. And this is our contribution to sustainability.
And it's often saves the company money as well. So that's the win-win.
So this is a direct consequence. And this is the economic success, which I said. And we always have to bundle it. We have to combine it to achieve sustainable growth in the end.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Mentioned the explosive growth of AI and data centers of late. Along with their outsized demand for electric power and cooling infrastructure, it's been an unexpected growth area, I think, for Anderson Hauser, according to all my research. Have you found any ways to leverage AI to your own operational efficiencies or advance the capabilities of your product suite?
So we define AI, or we approach it with three different perspectives. And one perspective is, as you just stated, that we use it internally to increase our efficiency and to stabilize our processes even more and so on. And yes, of course, we have already applications there. We use machine learning models to improve our demand forecasting. We improve our calibration routines so we can shorten them time-wise using algorithms. So we also improve welding processes by the usage of AI to analyze images of the welding seam. So we already use it within our production processes. But you always have to keep in mind that we are talking about probabilities. So AI is talking about probabilities, and so we have to be very careful and do it step by step, because our products are of very high quality.
They are.
And I think our customers wouldn't value if we only have a probability that the product is working properly. So we do it step by step, but we are already using it.
Should be within 1%. Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And the other perspective where we, of course, apply or dig into the applications of artificial intelligence is enlarging our portfolio or enhancing our product portfolio. So we have Nitilliance. This is a cloud-based IoT ecosystem. And on this platform, there are algorithms running, analyzing the data, and also using already a bit of an artificial intelligence. Maybe we are a little bit more closer still to the algorithm side and not the neural networks. But nevertheless, we are starting that really to use the information of our sensors to generate even more information out of the process and out of the status, or regarding the status of our instruments.
I think that's what I'm finding is one of the most beneficial algorithms in the process automation space is applying it to the data that you know is not have any hallucinations or anything like that, and saying, okay, the last time the temperature did this, we did this, and this is what made
it.
What can we learn from that? Yeah. Absolutely. So ENH announced a partnership with SICK early last year, just about when you took on the CEO role. Did they ask you about that before you took the job?
I was involved in the background a little bit.
I figured as much. And while they do have a lot of complementary analytical products on the process side, much of their focus is really on the discrete factory automation side, doing things like machine vision and discrete sensing. I'm just curious, to what extent might the integration of your respective leadership in these domains maybe be a motivating force for getting more active in the discrete automation side versus the purely process side of the business? Is that part of the exploration now?
No, I have to be quite clear here that this strategic partnership is really limited to the SICK process automation segment.
Okay.
So this is the field where we collaborate and we join the forces. So we took over all the sales and service business from SICK by 100%. The people moved from SICK to Anderson Hauser, the sales and service people.
Yeah.
And SICK is now focusing solely on the factory and logistics automation. Okay. And this was already 80% of their business.
Right.
And we took over this 20% process automation, and because it's closer to our core, I think. And with this enhanced portfolio in the gas analysis and gas measurement technology, we offer, I think, again, added value to our customer. And we come back to the topic I touched before, that we always strive to broaden our portfolio to even serve better the needs of our customers. And this was one good step for us to go into this direction, because now our customers, partners are able to buy even more products from a single source, which makes their lives easier.
And you've got more arrows to apply to their problem, to solve what they're trying to accomplish too.
And this business overall started quite well. So it was a huge project for us, to be honest, because this was the largest one to integrate more than 800 people around the world in more than 40 countries into the sales organizations we have locally. This was a challenge for us, but we managed, and we are already growing. So it was a good step for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been covering a wealth of information this week and new developments during the forum. Are there any specific announcements, developments, or initiatives that are that you find particularly exciting that are part of the agenda here this week at the forum?
I think the most important message for me is captured in our motto, that we are driving sustainable transformation together. And at the Global Forum, we bring customers, experts, employees, and also the shareholder family. They have been present as well, together to exchange ideas and to learn from each other. And the spirit of collaboration is really our core. And we try to convey this also via this global forum here.
Yeah.
And of course, innovation collaboration will always allow the process industry to master the challenges of today's world, become more efficient. But I really don't want to highlight one innovation here, because this would be unfair to to our complete portfolio we are offering here. Yeah. I think you had a look at our innovation section and you had a look what we are going to deliver tomorrow and maybe the day after tomorrow. So the real new products which are not already available, and I think it is important that we keep our broad approach, that we want really to serve also new applications, and therefore I don't want to highlight only one application. I think we really deliver innovation in a broad scale, and that's important for us.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Peter, for sharing your perspective with us today. For me, the whole week has been really quite enlightening, and I'm very engaged. So if you ever need some freelance writer or something on the side, we can talk. Although I think she's already got me working on some stuff. I think Sarah has. So once again, this is Keith Larson, and you've been listening to a Control Amplified podcast with my guest today, Peter Selders, CEO of Anderson Hauser. Congratulations once again on a successful global forum, and best wishes for continued success.
Thank you, Keith.
Take care.
Thank you.